This is Reverend Bookburn, and when I'm not counseling Senator David Diaperman Vitter or Pastor Ted Methman Hager, I'm broadcasting at VoltaRadio.com, Sunday nights, 9 to 11 or so, East Coast Time, USA, at VoltaRadio.com. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In, and the big penile microphone is working, and the weapon of ass destruction is working, and in front of our very special guest, Lolo, the John Holmes porn star microphone is working. So, good evening. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight is the New Year's show with special guest Lois from PenniesInAction.org, and we're going to bring her on with a very special song by the Sex Slaves. Tonight's show is dedicated to friend and book burner who passed away this weekend, Candy Hogan. All right, let's start off by bringing on Lolo with the Sex Slaves. The Sex Slaves, as requested by our guest. So, do you know these guys?
Hey, Rev. Thank you for having me. Can you hear me? Is my mic working?
Try again.
I said, hey, Rev. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for that wonderful intro. Yes, I do know Sex Slaves. T-Boz, Left Eye, and Chili.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just kidding. They're actually J-Bomb, Del Cheetah, and Eric 13. I've actually emceed a few gigs, Mistress of Ceremonies, for a gig that they were supposed to play, but unfortunately, Del Cheetah set himself on fire.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's okay now. His skin actually looks great. I'm going to have to set myself on fire. But, yeah,
that's commitment
I actually...
I'm sorry?
That's commitment to rock and roll.
Yeah, I think we're having problems with my mic because I'm in and out, so it just actually might be...
Can you
hear me?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, now
going
you're coming
in and
through.
Out. Okay. We're having technical difficulties already.
As usual.
Great.
Well, the sex slaves who are friends of Lolo have kind of brought her onto the show, and Lolo is known for many reasons, but particularly as a controversial, I don't want to say scandalous, but...
No, it was a tiny little scandal.
Okay, we'll say scandalous. Scandalous fundraiser for penniesinaction.org, which funds breast cancer research.
Can I just first, I just want to say this right off the bat. I have a bone to pick with you. I'm sorry, Rev. I have to get this out.
Okay, pick the bone.
Okay. Are you embarrassed of me, or, like, are you going to be another one of these DJs that are afraid of me? Because, you know, like, you waited till the last minute to update the blog and the website to promote me. I thought, you know, like, if there's going to be a problem, you know, right off the bat, you know, right in my bag, I have duct tape and a ball gag. I'm going to hog tie you because, you know, I've got roofies. I'm ready. You know, these boots that I'm wearing here, they're not just made for walking. So I just want to, you know,
boots.
I want to know, you know, are you embarrassed to me? What's the deal here?
You're not at all.
Okay.
The show wouldn't have happened if I did feel that way.
Oh, okay.
So having said that, can we discuss you?
Well,
being
what
a
are you
scandalous?
A wrap up? Can I ask you a few questions, please?
Go ahead.
Because you're not in a robe. I mean, what are you a rev of exactly? You're not going to hit me up for money or anything, are you? Can you perform weddings or brisses?
We do perform weddings.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
So you could marry me?
Yes.
Ooh.
I could perform the wedding myself, and I could marry you.
Maybe I'll propose to someone.
Okay.
The Rev got very, very close with me at the beginning of the show. He gave me a traditional, apparently a Rev Book Burn show, a traditional hug and kiss, and I told him he should have prepared me because he might have gotten stun gunned.
Hmm.
Maybe
it
that's
depends.
What
kind of stun gun?
Maybe that's what.
Some of them.
Disc jockeys are afraid of me. They're afraid they're going to get injured.
Possibly. Speaking of weddings. The first woman who got married on the show, we have to do two birthday shout-outs, Lady Simone is one of our birthdays. Happy birthday to Lady Simone, and who is still with Brother Eric, the first wedding on The Reverend Is In, and happy birthday to Jennifer Hunter from JenniferHunterConsulting.com.
Well, that's a nice segue.
Whose birthday just passed. I know, and that really wasn't planned.
Can I promote a wedding photographer, too, while we're at it?
Yeah, go
since
ahead.
Since we're giving shout-outs.
Sure, give a shout-out.
PlotkinPhotography.com.
Okay. I take it they're good.
Oh, they're excellent.
Okay.
They're real good.
Now, she is the scandalous... and very beautiful and controversial fundraiser for penniesinaction.org. When did that begin?
Pennies in Action or?
Your involvement.
Oh, my involvement? I met Uschi Kessler at a Broadcast Pioneer luncheon back in July, I believe, of 2010. And we have a mutual friend, and we are now both members of the Broadcast Pioneers of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And we were sitting at the same table, and she struck me as an extremely intelligent, vivacious, passionate person. And she started speaking to me about Pennies in Action. And quite honestly, you know, my brain actually only takes in so much. So all I really heard was, it was more of what I saw from her, her body language, but all I really heard was Pennies in Action, cancer vaccine research, cure for cancer, And then it was just like, wah, 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 because she got into all the medical jargon, which is great, and she's wonderful, and I love her, but that didn't register. But one of the most important things that registered with me is that 100% of all these donations go to this vaccine research. And it's research that's being done right here in University of Pennsylvania by Dr. Chernecki, and it will be the cure for not only breast cancer, but when they finish with this trial, it's so successful, he would like to start trials for other cancers.
Good. Is this stem cell research?
No, but the information, the recent information that came out about stem cell research is actually will help his research. So it's he's on to something. I mean, he's combining nature. I can't really talk about the medical part of it. That's when I would say to you, go right to penniesinaction.org, and you can get all the information you need if you understand that. All I can tell you is that I was privy to a meeting with the doctor or presentation where he had a slideshow, and he presented us with actual slides of breast cancer patients. I met two of them. One of them, if you go on penniesinaction.org, she has her own website. She is now volunteering, or she has started an organization out of Florida, another Pennies in Action. And it's incredible. I mean, if you were in this presentation, it would anger you so much that more people don't know about it. And what's unfortunate is that what people don't realize is when a vaccine is under research, it takes money, and they are short. Don't quote me on this, but from what I remember, it's about $14,000 per patient. So not only do they need more patients, but they need more money to finish these trials, and they've all been successful. It's been, I think, like 33 women. So that's, you know, that's one of the reasons why I got involved. And, you know, I'm really passionate about it. And, you know, we need to raise money. So if anybody's listening out there, reach into your pockets, you know.
And go to penniesinaction.org.
Penniesinaction.org. So you can also go to any TD Bank, from what I understand, and bring all your pennies and clean out all the change that's in between your couch cushions and in your car, and just put it in their change machine and bring the receipt up and say, I want to donate this to penniesinaction.org. They have an account with them.
So when did the controversy begin?
Well, what people don't realize is I actually had a fundraise back in, I think, August of 2010 at my salon. And it was successful. I mean, she felt it was very successful, but I was a little disappointed. It was very frustrating because we were doing $10 haircuts, which is well below our normal price. And the place next door to me that moved in a few years ago is a Korean, like a $8 haircutting barber shop, and they have one of those big tacky neon signs, $8. And here I am out in the middle of the street screaming, bouncing up and down with a bucket in my hand and a sign, save the boobies, $10 haircut, save the boobies. And these jack douche, I'll be nice, are going next door to get their haircut for $8. And we were giving haircuts for $10, and all the donations were going to Pennies into Action. So I realized then, you know, something extreme had to be done. And then I met up with Ushi again and her lovely friend, who is a vaccine recipient, successful, Shelly, from Florida. And I met up with her again at another Broadcast Pioneers function. And she just, you know, she's like, it's a shame we can't reach, you know, these corporations, like these people like Hooters and a Hugh Hefner type, you know, people that make money and profit off of, I don't want to say exploitation, but who, you know, that the breast is, you know, their main source of income, you know, putting them out on display pretty much. And, you know, my mind started working, and I had thought about doing some sort of a calendar anyway to try to promote a website that I'm working on. And I went home and I started playing around with my little program that I make my salon ads out of, Beauty Works Salon and Day Spa, 7242 Frankfort Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And that was just a shameless plug, I'm sorry. And, you know, I played around with it, and I posted on my Facebook page and just asked people to share it. I was really disgusted that I see these posts that just basically mean nothing. Like, oh, if you support our troops, post this on your status. Okay, well, what are you doing to support your troops? You know, it was the same with breast cancer. What are you doing?
Support the troops.
Let's hope not. No, there's no drooping here. Excuse me.
You are right.
I mean, you know, you do have it freezing in here. I mean, I don't know who you think you are, David Letterman or what, but luckily I'm fairly well padded, so there's no nip showing. Anyway, let me get back to business. So, you know, I went home and I posted these photos, and we were on a roll. We were building momentum, and I was also posting them on other people's websites and, you know, getting it out there. And I received a letter, you know, a letter from a woman who is a breast cancer patient. And she said that three of her friends also are dealing with breast cancer currently. And unfortunately, she was not happy with the posters. She said that they offended her. And she rattled off a bunch of questions that I just knew I was going to the principal's office. And I thought, okay, now what? You know, here we go. We're building momentum, and somebody's complaining already, which I basically kind of knew that there were going to be a few, you know, slightly offended. But just, you know, just don't repost it. Just ignore it. Block me. Delete me. This woman actually friended me. So she friended me, and then she hit me with this nasty email. So I wrote her back very nicely. I explained to her our position and what it was about. And Ushi was completely behind me because, you know, I totally respect her. I would never, you know, do anything that would hurt the organization or, you know, make them look bad in any way. And she was really thrilled. And then my photographer, I had a photographer who had offered me a free photo shoot. He actually backed out, which I think he's a big pussy, because this is what's amazing to me. He wanted to shoot me with guns, with rifles and guns. He said, no, he didn't want to literally, like, shoot me, knock me down dead. He wanted to do a photo shoot with me with guns. And I thought, wait a minute, you want to take pictures of me advocating violence, but my photos for Pennies in Action, that's that you have a problem with because I'm showing some cleavage. So yeah. If it's a sexual yeah, I thought, what's he going to do with these pictures? You know, where are they going to end up? You know, guns and ammo or what? But so it created a bit of a stir. And at some point in time, I think Ushi might have gotten a little bit nervous and thought, well, you know, we're not going to get the Oprah fans, or this will keep us from getting on Oprah. And, you know, my thought process is I'm not worried about Oprah because, you know, people, first of all, it's almost impossible to get on Oprah. My, you know, my thought process was, you know, let's get on Howard Stern, because that's where you want to be. Celebrities listen to Howard Stern. On Oprah, you just basically, the only people watching that are your white bread housewives, middle class housewives. You know, like, no, celebrities aren't really watching Oprah. They go on Oprah, but I don't think they're really watching what she's doing. And, you know, and I know he has an incredibly loyal fan base, and he would totally support, if he knew about this, I really believe he would totally support this cause and be completely behind it, especially because she gives 100% of the donation to the vaccine research. And, you know, so that's basically what started it. And it's sad because then we lost the momentum a little bit, but I'm going to get it started up again.
And the pictures aren't even that scandalous.
They really aren't. I mean, you know what? Men, everybody's, oh, you sexualize breast cancer. And, you know, and then I created a video to kind of counteract it. But, you know, men will sexualize anything. You know, they turn anything feet. You know, they'll make a foot. I dated a dude for a really long time who had a foot fetish. So, you know, men will sexualize anything. So, why not take advantage of it? To me, you know, there's nothing more empowering than using whatever I, if, look, if I was a singer, I'd sing, you know, and, you know, and I'd show, I have pictures of myself on Facebook, and, you know, my cleavage is out there. It's not necessarily deliberate. And if men are going to look at it, I'd rather them see it and then maybe, well, okay, what is she saying? What's, you know, what's going on with these pictures? Because, you know, I was always very careful to put all the information, and it worked, and it worked. And we've gotten a lot more support. We've created a lot more awareness. And it's worked. So I'm happy, and I think Ushi's happy. And, you know, we're getting more and more donations, and I think we'll continue to get more and more donations.
Yes, it is very effective fundraising. The pictures are awesome.
Well, what did you think?
I thought they were awesome.
Did you reach in your pocket to pull out money, or were you just adjusting?
I did even better.
Okay.
I promoted it.
Oh, okay. Well, we have to get you to reach in your pocket.
Oh, so you're here to hit me for
that's me. Right.
I see. But it underscores the point that people who are into Puritan posturing are so misguided. It's like all the bullshit that people were saying about the PETA ads, you know, or any ads that were either feisty or semi-erotic. And in reality, the people who decry that kind of stuff the loudest are moralizing hypocrites in the first place. And second, they're inhibiting effective and fun fundraising.
I totally agree with the latter part of what you said. But the first part in this situation, I think for this specific situation, I think it had to do with women and their own sexuality and how they feel about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the problem.
Very possible. So you were not the first in your family to broadcast or do radio.
Yes, correct.
You are the daughter of a man who went through a lot of repression and hassle for his radio show, correct?
Yep.
Could you tell us about your father?
My father's radio career, I believe, started in the early 60s. He was on a radio station in New Orleans, where they actually handed him the key to the city. And he was on a radio station in Media, Pennsylvania, in Boston. And he was quite controversial for his time. Unfortunately, he leaned a lot towards political. And that's something, you know, you don't necessarily want to do back then. And he was a very, very, very honest broadcaster. And, you know, he went after people. But what was great about my dad is that he would, you know, he would have, obviously, an open line radio program. And he took, not only did he have opposing opinions, he had guests that had opposing opinions, but he would take any caller and he would listen and he would debate them. And I think that's how I have the open mind. I have such an open mind now, is because I was, you know, I was privy to that as a child and that way of thinking. But he was way, way before his time, and he would get fired because advertisers did not want to advertise on any channel that you know, he was on. So it made his career quite difficult.
Was he opposing, like, the McCarthyism? And
he was, I remember, now this is all from memory from being a small child. I don't get into politics. I think it just rots your soul, basically. I can't despise either party. I really can't stomach them. They're just, everybody's just a whore for whatever, however they can
whore
move
profit.
Their way. But, yeah,
or
crackhead. But what was your question? I'm sorry.
So was he opposing, like, the McCarthy kinds
of
repression?
Oh, what I remember, his big issues, I don't remember too much of, obviously I wasn't born yet and I was such a small child, but from, you know, memory from stories, in the later years he was against the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. So as children we were branded communists. That was fun. And... And we were branded Dirty Jew. What else?
Today's teabaggers would call you.
And Lover, because he was a civil rights activist. And he had photos hanging on the wall that were facing the front window of Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. So that didn't really go over well in the neighborhood. And, so there was a lot of racial slurs. And it's funny because I'm a huge, huge Stern fan, and he talks about how he was subject to a lot of bullying as a child, and my brother and I were too. It was racially motivated, the same as his, but he says most, all of his, all of the bullying took place, it was blacks that bullied him, and for me it was completely the opposite. I would have loved, he wanted so badly to move out of his black neighborhood. I would have killed to move into a black neighborhood. We wanted to move into a section Mount Airy so bad, but we couldn't afford to move because it was just torture living in that white neighborhood.
Yeah, bullying sucks no matter who does it. Okay, we're going to play our first set of music. The website is penniesinaction.org.
I do want to, excuse me, I'm sorry, I want to make sure that we promote. There's my mic again. Hello. I think I'm going to have to switch mics while we're playing music.
Okay.
I really want to promote a show of all shows that we're having, a vaudeville production at the L Bar, 1356 North Front Street in Philadelphia. It's going to be live music, comedy, entertainment. Comedian Mike Buschetti from Sirius XM, Howard 101 show Miserable Men will be there. We have comedian Bobby Z. Joe Conklin is going to stop by. I have to be very careful the way I pronounce his name. I keep wanting to leave out the N. We're going to have acoustic performances by Clashing Plaid, a very, very popular Philly band. Early Gates and Jason Kelly are going to do an acoustic comical number, and I'm thrilled. I've just met her recently. This woman is sensational. She, the Philadelphia Inquirer magazine has called her a belter of the blues. Her name is Sister Blue, and she plays with she sings with a guitar player also on board, Mark Furman. They are out of this world. I think they're actually in Jersey. You'll have to check her website, Sister Blue, because she is phenomenal. I love blues. And who else are we going to have? We are going to have from the Peekaboo Review, we are going to have actual burlesque dancers, Ginger Lay, Cherry Bomb, I believe one other, I don't have her name. But if you check my Facebook page, all the links are on there. That is January 29th, 7:30 at the L Bar, 1356 North Front Street in Philadelphia. Play the music.
I think the other one is Melissa Bang Bang.
Melissa Bang Bang? That doesn't sound familiar.
Yeah, she's active in that. And Anne was on the show once.
Oh, okay.
And she's,
was she active
event,
under the... Never mind.
Okay. Set of tunes. Happy birthday, Lady Simone and Jennifer Hunter. Rest in peace, Candy Hogan, book burner and friend. And thank you, Hippie John, for coming down to visit over New Year's. And we're not going to talk about Arizona tonight because it's too heavy a subject and there isn't time. But we will just give you one quote from comedian Frank Conniff, who responded after he found out that the congresswoman who was shot, along with us, numerous other people, was under Sarah Palin's crosshairs on two of Sarah Palin's sites. Responded, quote, "Hey, Sarah Palin, how's that Haiti Killy Reloady crosshairsy thing working out for you?"
Crosshairs? You know, I was Sarah Palin for Halloween a few, except I wore thigh-high stockings. I don't know. You think she wears thigh-high stockings?
Oh, and you look much better.
It's on my Facebook page.
This is the Cramps doing...
Oh, perfect. I just got over my menstrual cycle.
Oh. My mic again. On that note, my mic goes out.
in honor of our guest overcoming her cramps, we're going to play the cramps doing Bikini Girls with Machine Guns.
Yeah.
Testing. Oh, good. See, now you can hear me.
I woke up this morning with a bad hangover, and my penis was missing again. This happens all the time. It's detachable. This comes in handy a lot of the time. I can leave it home when I think it's going to get me in trouble, or I can rent it out when I don't need it. But now and then I go to a party, get drunk, and the next morning I can't, for the life of me, remember what I did with it. First I looked around my apartment and I couldn't find it, so I called up the place where the party was. They hadn't seen it either. I asked them to check the medicine cabinet, cause for some reason I leave it there sometimes, but not this time. So I told them if it pops up to let me know. I called a few people who were at the party, but they were no help either. I was starting to get desperate. I really don't like being without my penis for too long. It makes me feel like less of a man, and I really hate having to sit down every time I take a leak. After a few hours of searching the house and calling everyone I could think of, I was starting to get very depressed, so I went to the Kiev and ate breakfast. Then as I walked down 2nd Avenue towards St. Mark's Place, where all those people sell used books and other junk on the street, I saw my penis lying on a blanket next to a broken toaster oven. Some guy was selling it. I had to buy it off him. He wanted 22 bucks, but I talked him down to 17. I took it home, washed it off, and put it back on. I was happy again, complete. People sometimes tell me I should get it permanently attached, but I don't know. Even though sometimes it's a pain in the ass, I like having a detachable penis.
Religious parody, satire, and musical comedy of Sister Bertha Bangers is not intended for listening to by the weak-minded or uneducated. If you feel you may belong to one of these signature fundamentalist, otherwise known as fundy categories, please turn the recording off now. To venture on will place you at great risk of hilarity-induced enlightenment, ability to think rationally, tolerance, and temptation to question asinine religious authoritarianism. Due to a volatile concoction of free thought, coarse jesting, irreverence, recreational sacrilege, cheddar cheese, and salsa, all rolled into a massive blasphemy burrito. Do not attempt to operate a motor vehicle or heavy machinery while filling up your senses with the wonders of Sister Bertha Bangers.
Corporation for the tomb, for the Andes, for young pious man, underwear for the true fundamentalist, designed by inhibited and paranoid Pentecostals, for Pentecostals. We live in a world where sexual temptation is all around us. Have you ever become sexually stimulated and embarrassed in the grocery store checkout lane? Have you ever discovered that you were randy because of those tawdry magazines of filthy, half-naked whores? Fruit of the tomb for the Andes, for young pious man, will make those uncomfortable moments a thing of the past. That's right. Fruit of the tomb for the Andes, for young pious man, will gloriously take the fun right out of your undies. Here's our miracle breakthrough secret. Our righteous undies for fundies are laced with a newly patented and high-power packed Southern Baptist Coastal Erection Slayer called St. Saltpeter. That's right. Fruit of the tomb for young pious man will give your Pentecostal penis a revelation like it's never had. Horny? Frustrated? Caught up in a life of shameful masturbation? St. Saltpeter to the rescue. Here it comes. Fruit of the tomb for young pious man will allow you to finally live that life that everyone at church doubts you're living anyway. It's not easy being young, Pentecostal and Randy, constantly dealing with evil urges to fornicate, masturbate, and sexually recreate. Let St. Saltpeter bless you today. You'll never have an erection again. Fruit of the tomb, Fundy Undies, for young, pious men. Fundy Undies!
Hey, this is Deborah.
And Keith.
From the band Davey. And you're listening to Reverend Bookburn on The Reverend Is In at VoltaRadio.com.
Providing a moral support for indie bands and media since 2001.
Here's a little song I wrote after a citywide revival. Whoop! And an ice cream social with the Pentecostals. Their thinking is wrong. Their hair is so long. And skirts way down to their feet. They've all got that look straight from the book. And Cosmo is not what I mean. Pentecostal women look weird. Pentecostal women look weird. They all look the same, like clothes, it's a shame. Pentecostal women look weird.
One, two, three, four!
Pedophile priests who prey on kids. Jesus saved.
up. It's a talk show. Come on, let's go.
One more table. All right.
Well, it's about time. Now I have a microphone that's working, and all you want to do is play music. Look, I have people. I have people that want to hear me.
You heard Demetri.
Please laugh out loud if you're going to laugh. This is radio.
Thank you, dear.
We're miming. No, I'm just kidding.
You heard Demetri Men doing Pope on the Rope.
The Meat
for
Men.
That Reverend Book Burns animation theme. Davey did Volta Radio Station ID and the Reverend is in promo. Sister Bertha Bangers did Fundy Undies and Pentecostal Women Look Weird. King Missile did Detachable Penis. The Fugs did Boobs a Lot. The Cramps did Bikini Girls with Machine Gun. And opening the show was the Sex Slaves doing Say What?
It's my theme song.
This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend is In. Tonight the theme is New Year's Show, the New Year's Show with Lola.
Lolo. If I'm going to be called Lolo,
kinks,
make sure it's with an O,
right.
Not an A.
Lolo. And the next show is in 2 weeks.
Yes.
Part one of Reverend Bookburn's 10th anniversary show.
To make it a good one.
So make it a good one. Okay.
I want to keep getting this out. The Boulder 2011 Boulder Bash, January 29th at the L Bar, 1356 North Front Street. I want to give a major shout out to Mike Harrington for Hell Under the L Production, who has been a major, major contributor to this show. I mean, he is bringing all these wonderful bands in. I think I heard someone do a promo for you where you support local bands. I mean, this is what this organization is all about. Hell Under the L Productions in Philadelphia. So I want to give a shout out to him. I want to give a shout out to Doc Ivan Graphics because he is just a love. He's making all our posters and all our graphics, and all these people are donating their time and talent for free, people, free. So please come out and support. It's only $15 to get in, and you are going to be entertained beyond belief. I mean, come on, what other show has strippers, a blues singer, comedians, acoustic performances? Again, acoustic performance from Clashing Plaid. Earl Gates and Jason Kelly are going to do a little acoustic comedy routine. Mike Buschetti, Sister Blue, and Mark Furman. This chick, she is phenomenal. If you're not familiar with her, please do. I downloaded her music in my iPod. I'm listening to it at the gym. We have Ginger Lee, Cherry Bomb. I mean, please support this cause. Penniesinaction.org. Live music and comedy entertainment on the 29th at the L Bar. You can go to my Facebook page. You'll find links all over the place for it. So I definitely wanted to give those shout outs before we go any further.
That does sound like a fun show.
You better be there, and I hope to hear it. You know, I hope to hear you're going to keep promoting it on your show.
I will do so.
At least, because we have a cure for cancer right here at our reach. You know, it's really pissing me off. I mean, you have to figure the term breast cancer research. It's so ambiguous. It's so vague. People hear that. They don't know what that means. So, you know, that's why I had to pose in my bra. We had to separate Pennies in Action apart from all these other breast cancer funds. And, you know, in many cases, the really big one, that's Susan G. Komen. I mean, there's a woman. Let me get her name. She just did this web article. I believe it was just a web article. It was Alicia Stately. She did a web article on Susan G. Komen, how only 17% of all those millions of dollars that are raised goes to breast cancer research. Yeah. Now, this is research that's being done right in Philadelphia by Dr. Chenecki at the University of Pennsylvania. It's successful, people. It is. There's actual women I've met, two that I personally met, that one is free of cancer 3 years. Another one, 6 weeks, six shots, free of cancer, no chemo. I mean, please, please, please reach into your pockets. If we finish this trial and then it becomes accessible to everyone, then he will be on to his next trial for prostate cancer, lung cancer. I mean, just this is it. He's found the answer. And if you don't reach into your pockets, shame on you. Because, I mean, I'm looking for the big bucks here. You know, I mean, you know, look, 36 double D. I want to fill my cups, okay? Ushi's running around picking up pennies. I love her to death. She's wonderful. I love her. She's like, give us your pennies. Give it. I'm like, no, Ushi, we want more than pennies. We want 20s. We want 50s. We want a big corporation. Hopefully somebody will hear me out there, maybe even a celebrity, somebody who will back this organization, because she is sensational. I mean, to put all her time and energy into creating this charity, and to be able to hand that check over to Dr. Chernecki is phenomenal. It's all good. It's a good thing.
Okay, and somebody who contacted us said,
"Ooh, letters, mailbag." Do we have a theme song for that?
We do not.
Oh, can we make one up?
Yes.
Ball bag. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Why can't she just
shut up?
The sexy.
Oh, I'm sorry. impossible.
Why can't she just release the sexy posters? Only one person complained, and they're very effective.
They're actually still up. I mean, you can find them on my blog. I just haven't been circulating them. I may actually, like I said, I will start circulating them again, and I just haven't made any new ones. But they're still up. So, and it wasn't necessarily that it was one person; it was more than one person. And you know, I think they're still up. That's all I'm going to say. They're still up. No worries.
Okay.
Is that a request for more posters, or?
I think he was getting at that. You know, like, don't let this stop you in your tracks. Keep the momentum going. Keep the.
We're gonna have to get back. Coming. We're gonna have to build the momentum back. We're gonna have to get it started again, because obviously people respond to it. So it's all good.
That's how I found you.
Really? Yeah. Through these posters?
Yeah.
You're kidding me. Well, there you go. See that? See.
Also from the mailbag.
Okay.
And these really are from the mailbag.
Oh, I They're completely believe you.
Are you a size queen?
Am I, should we explain to people who don't know what a size queen
yeah,
is?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. A size queen is originated, it's initially was a term that gay men used, and it's does size matter, basically? And yes, it does, for me, anyway, personally. It depends on which input, but it definitely matters in the traditional sense.
Yeah, but if... But
girth. It doesn't have to be length, but girth. Are you blushing? No, you're okay over there?
No, I was just thinking
it's
that
getting hot
you
in here
probably
all of
would
a sudden.
Change your mind if it was like a backdoor man.
That's exactly. Never mind. If that comes up in another question, I'll go ahead. Next question,
okay,
please.
We're not discussing that.
I can. No, we can, but okay. I'm elaborating. I'd rather get the questions.
Okay. Short and fat or long and skinny?
Are we referring to penis size? I answered that if that was the case. We're not talking.
Yeah, it's from the same guy, and
okay.
I think it's the same question.
Yes.
I don't think he means just overall.
Yes, I prefer, actually, I don't prefer too long. I actually, my ex-partner was quite large in length and curved to one side, and it hurt, so that's not necessarily a good thing. But girth is always good. You can't go wrong with that.
Cool. Manscaped or natural? I think that's
down
a
there,
question.
Or just like back hair, or
I interpreted that as a breast question.
A breast, a hair
yeah,
on the
like,
breast?
No,
manscaping means like down. Well, manscape. Okay, I'll answer both. Okay, in the genital area, definitely manscaped. I went out with this dude. The foot fetish dude. I mean, it was like one of those little troll dolls, mm-hmm. you know, with the crazy hair. That was, you know, not that anyway. But so definitely manscaped there and hair. I like, you know, I don't have a problem. The one thing I don't like is when a man shaves his chest. that's weird. I don't like that. If you're hairy, I like hairy. You know, I don't have a preference, non, or, you know, if I like you and then you're hairy, I'll be turned on by that.
Blue collar or white collar?
Oh, boy. I really want to meet somebody in some form of artistic profession. I've gone out with blue collar. I've gone out with white collar dates. I really hope to meet someone in some form of the arts, some creative, because I'm nuts. Who else, you know, come on, Mr. Contractor Dude, and, you know, I'm jumping up and down on the bed. You know, what's he going to do with me? You know.
Yeah, you'll frighten him.
Yeah. And I shouldn't say that. I'm sure there are some really cool white, really colorful white collar dudes out there. But some of them, you know, I've gone out with a few attorneys and they're kind of like a snooze. Except
Mr.
One.
Rogers or Pee Wee Herman?
Mr. Rogers or Pee Wee Herman? Mr. Rogers. Pee Wee. Pee Wee, definitely,
yeah,
Pee Wee. Definitely Pee Wee.
That was too easy.
Yeah. I don't know why it took me so long. I had to visualize them.
Older.
Although Pee-wee, with a name like Pee-wee, I don't know. You think
he's what's he telling about himself? You know. Older or younger than you?
Well, I've done the younger, my 10-year, failed 10-year relationship that I talk about a lot on my blog, was 12 years younger. So I've done that. And I swore I would never do that again. And then I started getting fussy and say, well, maybe I'll go out with 38. That's younger, but at least it's past 30. And then recently I dated for like a minute. I totally went against everything. And I dated a 24. Well, he hadn't turned 25 yet. And I thought, this is just nuts, because the older I get, I'll be 46 in February. I mean, now it's like I can date father and son. It's crazy. I mean, it just seemed like the older I got, the younger the man got. And I swore that I would never do that because I'm not a cougar. That's, you know. But this was a very nice gentleman, and he was a sweetheart. And so it wasn't really as if it was a relationship or, you know, he was just someone to hang out with. But
all right, this is a goofy question. Have you ever been secretly attracted to a woman or a gay man?
Secretly attracted to a woman. I find women very attractive. Very, very attractive. I think they're absolutely beautiful. But sexually attracted, this is a really strange story. I think back, and I'm assuming it was a sexual attraction. I have had an experience with a woman, but this was totally separate. This particular person is actually a sister of a very good friend of mine, and this girl is like really, really butch, like really heavy, and just very, very butch. And I really liked her. She was a lot of fun and funny. But for some reason, I felt like when I was around her that there was this, I was like kind of shy. Like there was this weird sexual shyness. I can't explain it, because normally I would be attracted to like the lipstick lesbian, like the woman that I actually had the experience with. And this was way back. This is funny. My ex, when we broke up, I'm going to tell everybody that you were with a woman. I'm like, oh, great. It'll increase my popularity. Good. I mean, it was ridiculous, but, so it was just really odd. Now that actually predates my experience with the woman, the weird attraction. So that's an interesting question, because that got me thinking.
How about, were you ever attracted to a gay man?
No.
And that's from the
same. And that's really weird, because I mean, I can look at gay men, and some of any man, they're absolutely stunning, you know. But I've never been sexually attracted to a gay man. And that's weird. Like, there's never been any kind of, like, actual a chemistry or anything that's, like, that I felt, like, a sexual feeling towards. And I've been around quite a few, because my brother's gay. So I used to go to gay clubs all the time. But I've never had, like, a sexual attraction to one. That's interesting. what does that say about me? I've had sexual feelings about a female and not a gay man.
Hey. That works. Okay. Well, tell us about your last ex. How did that end?
Oh, that's kind of boring. His family, they were too involved. I predicted it 10 years ago when he got down on his one knee and proposed to me. I said, this, I'll never marry you because we're going to be broken up, because in 10 years you're going to resent me because you know, your family hates me. And that's basically sums it all up. So that's a boring story.
So what did he say? I spent my youth with you.
He said he missed his youth. That's funny that you, what are you, a mind reader? Boy, wow, that's pretty good. He said he missed, or
that's
you
experienced.
It is predictable? No.
Yeah.
Oh. But he's not, I don't know, I'm not going to discuss that.
Okay.
You know. He's a good guy. He's a really, really, really good guy. I tell everybody, I say, I'm not particularly fond of what he put me through the last, I'd say, 2.5 years, but he is really a good guy. He's just influenced by different people. And when he was with me, he was influenced by me. You know, I can admit it, but that was all good. But he's a good guy. That's boring.
Okay. Who's the guy who had the foot fetish?
The foot fetish. I got involved with him after I met him on MySpace. Oh, God, how nerdy is that? But I didn't know any better. I actually, when my ex and I broke up, I was on MySpace for my business, and when I changed the status from relationship to single, I started getting hit up by men. I thought, wow, this is kind of cool. You know, this is like a sort of like a dating site. I didn't know any better. And we communicated for a while. It was a long distance, and he had a heavy, heavy, heavy foot fetish, and it was interesting. I mean, for me, it was no big deal because I get turned on when you're turned on. Like, if my partner is turned on, that excites me. So knowing that my feet and what I did with them excited him was a turn on to me. Although it does feel really, really good to have a tongue between your toes. That to me is better, or it almost, it's, and maybe I have a really vivid imagination, but when someone is licking my toes, it felt like it was like a oral sex. I know that's crazy. It's crazy, but it really did.
No, it isn't.
But it was interesting. I mean, you know, I don't know. Do you have any specific questions about it?
No, but you just raised an interesting question. So it was similar to oral sex.
Licking of the toes. But that was about it. That was, I mean, most with him, it was just basically me with my little purple friend. And, you know, it's a lot of it is about the like dominatrix kind of, you know, feel to it. Because we're in a long distance relationship, we had a blog, or I made him a blog where only he could view it, and I had little videos, and he would make requests, and if we have time, I could read some of the things that, because I would make stories kind of like foot farm form stories where I would, you know, describe different scenes, and then he could go log on and like look at them. But that blog is gone, so no one try to find it because it's completely gone.
We do want that.
What, later on, you want me to read some? Okay, I will. I think I'll be able to pull them up if I can plug my computer in a little bit later on.
Okay. What is the origin of Lolo?
My father was a Jew. His mother and father won kind of a Polish and where else was she from? My grandmother. Anyway, that's not important. But he was a Jew. That's where I get the dark skin. My mother came from Louisiana, and we're not quite sure exactly her origin because she was adopted, although we still believe she was actually a member of the family that she was adopted by. It's like this big, you know, controversy within the family. And she's dark hair, dark eyes, light skin. She looks like my brother. My brother looks like my mother, and I look like my father. But I know, you know, I could pass for just about 5 different nationalities. Was that one of the questions in the mailbag?
No.
Oh, okay.
But just one that I wanted to ask.
Oh, okay.
Are any recordings of your father's ever going to be accessible?
I would hope so. I hope somebody out there can help me find some. My father kept everything. He was sort of a pack rat, and he kept every single one of his broadcasts. I mean, there were some really great things that I remember even growing up. He had interviewed Ronald Reagan when he was an actor. There were some really great recordings, but unfortunately, after the tragedy, things went missing. And everyone always says to me, "Oh, do you blame your mother for what happened?" And I do not blame her. I do not hold resentment against her. My biggest issue with my mother is that she was never able to really validate the relationship that I had with my father. In other words, I have a totally separate relationship with my father than she has with him. She was his wife. I am his daughter. So I think she didn't quite understand that, and she really couldn't validate the fact that we are, you know, that is a totally separate relationship. And unfortunately, a lot of these tapes went missing because she gave them away, and, you know, so a lot of them, I have no idea where they are.
So there's no archive?
No, we're still looking. I mean, I have the people now, like I said to you before, I am now a member of the Broadcast Pioneers of Philadelphia, mm-hmm. and a very wonderful man there, Jerry Wilkinson. He told me that he has actually a recording of my dad, the story of Marvin Burek, which I would love to get my hands on, but he's got to find it. So let's hoping, you know, he'll find it.
Yeah, it'd be good to get a CD or two. At the very least.
Well, I did get something in the mail today that I sent him. I sent him a reel-to-reel tape, and he transferred it to a CD. And it's a mixture of things. I haven't finished listening to it. It was really kind of cool, though. It dated as early back to, I think it was like 53, which was, it sounded like my dad was sort of practicing reading commercials. And he was talking to my little cousin, who was at the time 3 and a half. So it was pretty neat to listen to that. But then later in the tape, it sounded like he was actually doing a broadcast, and he was interviewing a guy doing the sports. That was kind of cool to hear his voice and, you know, catch up on that.
Okay.
Any more questions?
And you have a background in broadcasting?
Well, now I do. I just went to broadcasting school. Mm-hmm. I graduated, when was it, March or May of this past year. And it's pretty much my dream and my goal to work for Howard Stern. So I'm targeting that, and I'm hyper-focused on that. Some people think I'm too hyper-focused, but, you know, when you have your mindset on something, you know, I'm not going to stray. I'm not going to start interviewing. First of all, terrestrial radio, I would have to do internet, because terrestrial radio would not have me. But the show that I was fortunate enough to pitch to the program program director of Howard Channels, Tim Sabian, is a show with Al Rosenberg, who is a writer, comedy writer, and a radio personality. And he's the Stern family is very familiar with Al Rosenberg. And he is a sweetheart, and we have an excellent rapport together. He makes me laugh, and he's not afraid to ask me the provocative questions. And I'm looking forward to that. What I really need is, if anyone listening out there would like to write in to Tim Sabian, I can give you the, it's also on my Facebook page, but if they would like to write in to Tim Sabian, now where did I put his email? That would be T Sabian, that's S-A-B-E-A-N, that's T Sabian at SiriusRadio.com. And please show your support for the Al and Lowe Show. We promise to entertain. We are going to highlight talent. We are going to highlight musicians, local musicians, interesting people. We're going to have skits. I really actually have a show pretty much together. It's ready to roll. I'm still waiting on our theme song. Eric 13, if you're listening, I know you're pissed at me, and I know there's some tension between us. I'm sorry for using your guitar picks for pasties, and I'm really, really, I really didn't mean to stain your guitar strap. I used it for a G-string. I'm really, really sorry. I apologize if I have to. I'll wash the stain out with like a Tide pen. But please, please, just please finish our theme song, The Alan Lowe Show. So write Tim Sabian at tsabianseriousradio.com if you support us. I hope you do.
Okay. Thank you much.
Are you playing more music?
I am.
Okay, can I do another plug then?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to plug the 2011 Boulder Bash at the L Bar on January 29th. That's 1356 North Front Street in Philadelphia. And we're going to have live music and entertainment, comedy entertainment, including comedian Mike Buschetti, comedian Bobby Z, the legendary Joe Conklin, I'm careful how I pronounce that, acoustic performances by Clashing Plaid, Early Gates, and Jason Kelly, and I love this woman, a belter of the blues. Inquirer magazine calls her Sister Blue with Mark Furman. And from the Peekaboo Review, burlesque dancers Ginger Lay, Cherry Bomb, and I'm so sorry about that third young lady. I cannot remember her name. But please, 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 $15. It's a great show. It's going to be a phenomenal night. You'll get to meet me. Not that that's that big of a deal, but it's at the L Bar, 1356 North Front Street. It's a Hell Under the L production. Music!
Okay, this needs an introduction. Speaking of local talent, this is a track by the Dead Milkmen from their Metaphysical Graffiti CD, and the references to WMMR, WYSP, or the local rock stations, and WXPN, which was and still is the radio station from University of Pennsylvania, at one time with great psychedelic and punk shows and more underground kinds of stuff, and since turned into what it turned into. But those are the references to WMMR, WYSP, and WXPN.
Take it, boys! Yeah, my sister's really moving up in the world. She dates a full-blown professor. Goes by the name of Professor Griff. He's a great guy. He's a good old boy. That wild old Professor Griff. I think he's a history professor. The other day he told me the wildest story about the history of jewelry. Anyway, come nightfall, we all love to sit on the porch and Sis plays the banjo, I play the jug, and Professor Griff breaks out his Jew's harp and just flails away. God, I love that guy.
Neighbors, no one loves you like he loves you. And no one cares like he cares. Neighbors, let us join today in the holy love of God and money. Because neighbors, no one loves you like he loves you. And what better way to show your love than to dig deep into your pockets? Dig real deep and give until it hurts. Alleviate your guilt. Free yourself once again, because he gave to you, brothers and sisters. Please give a $10, $25, or $50 tax-deductible donation, and I assure you your modest pledge will be used to censor TV and radio, ban questionable books, and contribute to many other godly services. No longer will young Christian Americans hedonistically indulge in masochistic submission, terrific music, or with your monetary support. There is no end to what we can achieve in this country. The voice of God is government. The voice of God is government. The voice of God is government. May God please run to the government. Can't you see what we believe in? Our thoughts and our reasons to the fact that liberty, happiness we cannot taste. We got the truth of the mighty voice of our desire, real sight. I am in the chains of our sex, deserve a once more far. The voice of God is government. The voice of God is government. The voice of God is government. If we shun God and Jesus Christ, religious love is sacrifice. Not for God, it's shown cash. Don't accept, fill our trash. I repent that we receive our money. That's what God needs. Build a $1 million church. Money spent on God's search. The voice of God is government. The voice of God is government. The voice of God is government. God is not stupid. On late night TV, God can heal. A certain voice that I feel. Love for money and God's name. But it's just not what TV gave. The money spent on God's return. The money spent on God's return. Voice of God is government. 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 Go and go to the bed.
Hi, y'all. This is Dr. Laura Hoa, and I want to talk about our sainted tea bagging party. People, these tea parties were not I hate Obama rallies. No, they weren't. These were to let Congress know that the people are dissatisfied with what they're doing at the moment. I get asked all the damn time why we did not protest when our dear President Bush was in office. And I tell him that we loved everything he did. Besides, someone emailed me that our dear President Bush was doing his own teabagging in private. I guess that's in support of our efforts. Bless him. I was told that we right-wing GOP types sure seem to love our teabags. They say that some of us even go from party to party, getting teabagged again and again and again. I have no idea what they mean, but bring the tea bagging on. Hey, you all, can I secede from America? All hail tea bagging. This is Dr. Laura Hoa saying keep your bags close and your baggers closer. And T teabag a liberal Dem before they teabag you. Bye-bye.
Oh, shit, man. Put out a warning when you do one of those, man.
Yes, it's that very special time once again. It's time for Asshole of the Week. And since we have a live guest tonight, we shall invite her to make live oral fart sounds if she is so inclined. Are you so inclined?
I wish you would have warned me. I would have made sure I ate appropriately before I came. But actually, rather than, I would prefer to queef, which I can, but I'm not dressed for it.
Okay.
So sorry to disappoint.
That's okay. You don't want
lovely music, background music, though.
Thank you. That's from the late Marlon.
That's not you?
No. But feel free to join in if you feel like going, like, you know, or anything like that.
I'm good.
Okay. Sunday, January 9th, 2011, at VoltaRadio.com, ReverendBookburn.com, and Radio 4All, Radio4All.net. First, the runner-up. The runner-up to Asshole of the Week is the Philadelphia Parking Authority. The Philadelphia Parking Authority are legendary in their towing without having posted warnings for blocking off entire areas of the city with no parking access, and for ripping people off with exorbitant fees. Philadelphia Parking Authority, runners-up to Asshole of the Week, and think twice if you're going to be a tourist or visitor to Philadelphia by car. And that leaves us with just one special recipient, somebody who could even outshine the runners-up to Asshole of the Week. Somebody even more worthy and deserving under the spotlight and degrading title of Asshole of the Week. Tonight, Asshole of the Week is... We need the fart sounds for this.
Drum roll.
First Cheech from Cheech and Chong. One of the movies.
Warn you when you do one of those, man.
That's better.
Thought that was his bomb. Who's the asshole of the week already?
Tonight.
I'm going to bring out my Rosie Perez in a minute.
Asshole of the week is Jared Lee Lochner. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. L-O-U-G-H-N-E-R. Jared Lee Lochner is a guy who opened fire this weekend to Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords and 12 or 13 other people, six of them dead, including a 9 or 10-year-old child, and was an avid fan of Sarah Palin and the Teabaggers and other psychopaths who use crosshairs on their targets of people they disagree with and spur loose nuts from their followers, not just from comments and blogs areas, but spurred into action of a violent nature. Jared Lee Lochner, you are Asshole of the Week. All right, time to kill the sounds.
I was trying to bring up a burp, but sorry.
Oh, you were going to burp for me.
Yeah.
Damn.
I might have soiled the microphone, so best
that's
not.
That's okay. It's consensual.
It's okay?
Oh. It's consensual
soiling. There's no microphone condom?
Ms. Terry from RadioLeft.com did Dr. Laura Hoare, the 2009 version. Bad Religion did Voice of God as Government. The Buzzcocks did Oh Shit. Dead Milkmen did The Big Sleazy. Asylum Street Spankers did Shave 'em Dry. And started off with DOA doing Marijuana Motherfucker.
You cursed.
I did. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In Tonight. The theme is New Year's Show with Lolo. And you here?
Ready?
Are you ready? Yeah.
As I sit here alone, my feet up, rested atop my coffee table, I'm sweaty. I can feel my body getting flushed with excitement. I rest my head back and close my eyes. My feet ache. I have been in my stockings and heels all day and into the evening. I am awakened by the light touch of what turns out to be the tip of your nose on my hot, sweaty foot. You are bent over, sniffing my feet. What are you doing? You have not been given permission to smell my feet. You are humbled. You put your head down. May I please smell your feet, mistress? You ask. Only if you do as I say, foot boy. I slip back on my worn leather 4-inch pumps that were sitting on the floor next to me. I slowly get up, standing face to face. I demand you to your knees. Get down and kneel. Kneel on your knees, slave. Beg like a dog. Crawl to me first, and we shall see how you follow orders. I reach over and pick up my leather crop. I slowly run the tip across your face, up under your nostrils. Listen, foot boy, take off your clothes. Strip down to nothing. You look at me with shame as I smile in delight at your willingness to obey my every wish. I motion you to move even closer to me. Our bodies almost touch. Come close to me, my little pig. Smell me. Smell my feet, sweet scent. Smell my sweaty body so that I know you are worthy enough to worship at my feet. I then place my crop on your shoulder and firmly direct you to the floor. There you are on your knees, your face in front of my crotch. Little do you realize I am incredibly excited by the power that I have over you. I slowly turn my back to you. Crawl, you pathetic foot boy, crawl to me. Crawl behind me. You obey. I stop for 1 minute. Turn to you. Lay on the floor. Beg for what you want, slave. You cry out to me. Please, mistress, let me smell your feet. Let me lick them. I stand over you, balancing on one leg, as I dangle my shoe off of my foot over your face. Take my shoe and inhale the scent, you little worm. I support myself with one hand on the wall. Kick my heel off in your face and push the back of my toes up into your nose. Now lick the bottom of my sole. Lick my stocking feet, you pathetic pig. I order you to put my shoe back on. I order you to stay lying on your back on the floor. To be continued.
And that is from your old blog.
Yes, that's from the Foot Fetish blog. Hmm. That was for private viewing. So you're getting a real treat tonight.
All right, an exclusive.
Feel free to read more from that. This is an exclusive. Oh, we will. We can go back to that. Can we go back to the questions?
Sure. This guy.
How do we know they're all men? Are they saying that they're male? Because we want some females, too.
They sound like men. This is a totally different person.
Okay. We're getting a lot of mail. I see them coming in. This is really cool.
Is this a time for a female Howard Stern to come onto the scene? You are like a the child of Stern and Oprah.
Or I've said I was the love child of Howard Stern. If Howard Stern and Oprah had a love child, I think that's what he's referring to, what I posted. Okay.
And that you are more or less, I'm not sure which one, controversial what? Than Lisa Lampanelli. I don't know who that is.
Lisa Lampanelli? You don't know Lisa Lampanelli.
No.
She's she's a hysterical stand-up comedian.
Okay. And then it gets to the question, which is, do you plan on some male version of the Sibian?
Okay. Well, the first part, I'm not really sure if that was a question or a statement. Mm-hmm. It sounded like it was a question that was mixed into a statement. But I don't know. Do they want Lisa Lampanelli? They would like to hear Lisa Lampanelli or somebody like Lisa Lampanelli? I don't know.
I think they wanted to compare you to her.
Oh, compare me? Well, there's a lot of differences. First of all, I really desire and would like to be a talk radio personality. Now, I've been called controversial, which, you know, I don't completely understand. I prefer the word provocative. You know, I don't deliberately set out to be controversial. That's, you know, that would be way too obnoxious. It's just somehow or other I inadvertently create controversy, I guess, like with those posters, we could say. But Lisa Lampanelli is an extremely talented comedian, and she has her act, and she does an act, and she'd probably be great. She'd probably be a great guest host and maybe even a great radio personality, but I don't see myself as doing... I don't want to say shtick because, you know, that kind of discredits what she does, because I'm not saying that that's what she does, but she has an act, and I don't do an act. I'm just there to be authentic, and, you know, just I'm not afraid to be vulnerable. That's why I feel that I'm a little bit of Oprah. I appeal to a wide range of people. I appeal to males and females, from the mail that I've been getting since I was voted one of the sexy singles of 2010, the Daily News. I've received a lot of email, and it was sensational, because it allowed me to believe that that was really that I'm definitely on the journey that I need to be on. Because I mean, I received emails from females and males of all ages telling me that I've inspired them. So I know that I'm able to connect. That, you know, my colorful background and colorful life, I'm able to connect with people. But people assume I'm confrontational, and I can be confrontational if I'm provoked. But I think it's more or less in my delivery, because I'm pretty much straightforward and I'm upfront. I'm very dry. I'm very sarcastic. But I definitely think, you know, I wouldn't be doing this if I wouldn't be targeting the Howard Stern show and wanting to work for him so much. I really feel that it's definitely time for a strong opinionated woman's voice to be heard, and, you know, one that's going to be honest. I mean, you know, Oprah's somewhat opinionated, I guess you could say, but I don't really feel that she's completely authentic, and I don't think she's completely honest. You know, and that's who I'm going to be. So. And the Sibian, I don't really know if somebody can invent a male version of the Sibian. I'm not really sure there would be too many women that would want to see that, unless they were angry at their partners and they wanted to see, you know, a schlong up their ass as some sort of torture. But I wouldn't find that as sexual. Maybe it would be funny. I mean, you know, I don't know what the male version of a Sibian would be. So if somebody has any ideas out there, I'm definitely open to ideas.
Cool. Okay, and we covered the name.
Oh, the name? What? Oh,
Lolo.
Lolo? Actually, you know, I wrote this down because I wanted to make... Lolo is... a nickname that I was given when I was a small kid, because a lot of, you know, how many kids were named Lois, let's face it, and a lot of the young kids in my neighborhood, they couldn't say Lois, so they said Lolo. And I actually Googled it, and I found on urbandictionary.com, did you know Lolo was slang in the West Indies for penis? I mean, isn't that nice to know that my name means penis? That makes a lot of sense, though, because I've been accused of having a set of balls. So now I know I have a penis.
To go with the penis.
Yes. And it's also, wait, it's a verb.
Verb.
I don't know what language. This could be West Indies, too. But it's a verb meaning to masturbate, which, now, that so explains so much. That just really opens up, you know. Now I understand my childhood so much better because I started to masturbate at a very, very young age. So who knew that Lolo, you know, must have been some sort of a subliminal thing, that it was a verb meaning to masturbate.
So to masturbate a penis, like a happy ending.
Happy ending? Well, I mean, I think it's used like, oh, do you want to go Lolo? So, like, the next time, you know, somebody wants to masturbate, then, you know, they could say, oh, do you want to go Lolo? And if you Google, I'm not going to do it now, but also Urban Dictionary, if you Google that and put my name in, it's kind of interesting, too. And everyone has something to do with big boobs. It's crazy. In every definition for some reason.
Okay. Are you friends with the band Bong Hits for Jesus?
I actually just met them through Facebook, through a mutual friend. And again, you know, this goes to show you that, you know, you show a little cleavage and, you know, you put a creative ad campaign together and just all sorts of people just come out. And, you know, here I was contacted by them, and for the next few gigs, they're going to send around, I think, like a collection plate. And I believe some of the bandmates will be donating, you know, their take to Pennies in Action. And I think that's really cool. I don't really have the date in front of me. I think it's maybe in a week that they're. You could check again my Facebook page, their Facebook page. They're going to be out there supporting Pennies in Action. Again, go on to penniesinaction.org also if you would like to donate. And, you know, so it's great. So it's a lot of great, artistic, wonderful people coming together that are looking to help cure cancer, because this is it. I mean, this man, this Dr. Chernecki, I was so privileged to meet him. I mean, that is one thing that I'm very, very thankful to Ushi for introducing me to him, because that was just the thrill of my night to meet this genius, this scientist, basically. I mean, he's a medical doctor and he's a surgeon, and it was so exciting to actually meet the man that has the cure for cancer.
And he has a success rate.
Yes. I think he's close to like stage two. See, I don't get all the medical jargon. And again, if you go on www.penniesinaction.org, you can read all about it. I have links to their site, and I have videos where you have, you know, just impromptu video of the doctor speaking with Ushi and Shelley, where they explain the vaccine and how much money they need to get more women in trials. And we need women from the Philadelphia area also. You know, the one woman came from Florida who received the vaccines. Like she says in her on her blog, 6 weeks, 6 shots, she's cured. Cancer gone. I mean, it's incredible. You would streak through the streets of Philadelphia if you knew. I mean, you have to figure, I think I've already said this, but I want to repeat it. It took 3 years, we were told, to get the Philadelphia Inquirer, major newspaper in the city, to do a story. You know, I guess maybe, you know, we had to murder some dogs and play football, who knows, to get, you know, on the front page. But they did finally, after 3 years, do a beautiful article. They did a sensational job. But it just goes to show you, that's my point. I mean, you know, we were on a radio show a few weeks ago in Bucks County. We're now on the Facebook Joe Muski. He's been wonderful. We are now on the Superfan website on Facebook, and people are donating from all over. As you said, you saw the poster, and you know, now we're here and we're spreading the word. I mean, it's sensational, and just, you know, all over some photos that quite honestly, they're not even that risque. So
no, they're not. That's the first thing I thought when you spoke about the response to them and the big reaction, that they were scandalous or controversial.
Oh, somebody just texted me, my good friend in Canada. He says, high-powered shop vacuum would be the new male Sibian. High-powered? Okay. Yeah. You need that much suction? Oh, God, that's... Does,
huh. Yeah.
I don't know. That sounds a little painful.
I would want to see his toy and gadget collection.
Sounds interesting, though. I mean, you know. Yeah,
keep working on this plan.
Yeah, he says keep working on it.
We don't judge here. Okay.
Would you like me to go back to my blog and read
oh,
some more?
Oh, please do.
Okay, I don't know where I left off, but.
Let's
okay.
see. He earned the right to lick you between the toes.
Wait, what were you doing? Were you taking notes?
I have a vivid memory.
Okay, let me find it. Give me a minute.
Okay.
Where am I?
She's
okay.
For her.
Okay. Here. Now, I am.
You brought up your period before.
Yeah, we'll discuss my cycle after. Okay. I turn back around and walk towards my bed. You can hear the sound of my high heels hitting the floor. I sit at the end of my bed with my feet dangling. I slowly remove my black nylons one at a time. I notice you can see my every move from a mirror. I look over at you and notice your maleness has grown in size. I can see that the anticipation is like torture, and I too am excited by this. What do you want, footboy? You must beg, Mistress L, you reply. I want to worship your feet, Mistress L. I want to touch myself. May I? Come on over here, slave. Crawl to me. Crawl on your belly. Okay, foot slave, Mistress L, will give you a treat. You may worship my feet. I know how you love to lick and suck each toe. But first you must massage them. You rubbed and massaged my feet for 30 minutes. I could see some wetness had appeared at the top of your maleness. I knew it was only a matter of time before you would explode. So I decided I would make you stick out your tongue. I placed my painted toes over your salivating tongue. I then circled my foot in front of your face and close to your nose. I could see in your face the yearning. This was very pleasurable to watch. I had you where I wanted you, my submissive, obedient slave. Do you want to pleasure yourself to my feet, foot slave? Do you wish to rub and touch yourself while you smell my delicious feet? Beg, foot slave, beg me to allow you to pleasure yourself in my presence. Lose all your dignity and show me how much you want that. I could not deny you pleasure anymore. I could see the look on your face. What you craved, awaiting my permission. How lucky you are, foot slave. I will let you finish now. I put one foot firmly pressed against over your face, using your face as my footstool. I took my other foot and gently rubbed it across your maleness. I could feel pulsating against the sole of my foot. I wiped away the moisture at the very tip with my big toe. I watched, smiling as you touched yourself, enjoying your eagerness to please me. There's more, but there's a little intermission. I think you're enjoying this a little bit too much, Rev.
You do?
Yes. Are you a foot fetish man?
What?
Come on, own up. I have a feeling you might be.
I'm clergy. It comes with the job.
Oh!
Okay, you said some very interesting things about your period and menstrual cycle.
Interesting menses. There's interesting things about menses. Well, no, you know, look, when you're over 40, I don't know if you know this or not, but a girlfriend and I were discussing this about a year ago. When you're over 40, first of all, PMS is intense. You know, I used to feel like when I had PMS, it kind of gave me an edge in business. You know, if I had to deal with some asshole, you know, in business, I could, you know, I had that extra edge. But honestly, I mean, you get so crazed when you have PMS, you really can't control your emotions. I mean, you know, not on an average day, but if there's something going off, if there's a circumstance in your life and it's creating, you know, an uneasy emotion, if you have PMS, that, I mean, you could do such a compulsive act. I'm not talking murder or anything like that, but I mean, you know, where you just, it's just uncontrollable. But yeah, recently, I honestly, this why we're discussing this is because I had posted that I would be on the rag tonight, and you know, I miscalculated. So, but so I was talking about this with a good friend of mine. A man, you know, he calls himself my Jewish mother. I don't know if he'll want me to give him. I gave him a shout out earlier, but I don't know if he'll want me to tell you who he is. But anyway, his advice basically was to me was, you know, don't tell men that you're on the rag. And I to me, I'm going to be 46 years old. Like, get over it. You know, I'm not embarrassed. I'm not a teeny bopper. I mean, you know. I have to laugh. I love him, and with all due respect, I mean, you know, he's like, well, a man will think something's wrong with you. So I'm just, what am I being auctioned off? I mean, oh, she's good stock, you know? I mean, come on. I mean, if I can't discuss my menses with a dude, forget it. Relationship, there's going to be no relationship. We're not going to move forward because I need to vent. When I have my menses, I need to discuss my blood flow. I mean, there's no way I can hide it. When I'm bleeding, my bleeding is so heavy because I have endometriosis. Yes, there's something wrong with me. I have endometriosis. My bleeding is so heavy that dogs follow me. So he said to me, oh, well, if you have your period, say that you're on business. Well, if I say I'm on business for a full week, men that are so damn insecure are going to think that, you know, I'm part of an escort service or something. So that I just thought that was interesting, and I also want to put out an idea to Procter & Gamble. I want a vibrating tampon. Don't you think that's a good idea? I mean, you're not a female, but I feel...
Well, from a marketing point of view...
I feel if we had a vibrating tampon, it would make things a lot better because we would forget about the pain and we would enjoy the pleasure. Or if it was like a med-soaked tampon, like go right to the source of the pain. I've personally never gotten high. I don't smoke pot. Mm-hmm. But if they were to soak a tampon in weed, I would definitely have tried pot by now because, you know, I would have stuck that sucker right up there and just enjoyed a nice big tub of soy ice cream.
Yes, one more additional medicinal use of marijuana.
For cramps.
And that probably would work.
Of course it would work, because you're going right to the source. Mm. Stick that sucker right up there, and you could have, like, you know, they have different size tampons. You could have different dosages, and, you know, and then a little bit of vibration, and think about that, right? Come on. Anybody work for Procter & Gamble? Get on that.
No.
Our Sibian guy, my friend from Canada, Rick, get on that. I want a vibrating tampon soaked with weed. Can you get on that right now?
Don't go to Procter & Gamble, who are assholes and who experiment on animals. Get an independent entity that would do it and do it ethically.
Rick will do it in Canada.
Get him to do it.
There you go.
And
I hope you're listening. Get to work.
And we'll promote it and market it.
There you go.
It.
We'll have to trademark the whole deal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's another question, I think. This one I think I have that came to you. Yeah, no, this came to you, but I have it in front of me. Okay. He says, I was wondering, why not push the sexy posters? Most people, yes, even women, respond to sex. Sex sells. I mean, look around. They don't have to be rude. I thought they were in good taste and fun. One complaint. Yet she would be the first in line. One complaint, meaning one person complained. Okay. Yet she would be the first in line. It is not necessarily to push cleavage to be sexy. By the way, how tall are you, Lolo? Okay. Well, I mean, I pretty much went over, you know, they are still on the web. They're on the blog. We are still using them to raise awareness and, you know, as I've been told, raise a couple other things. But while you're down in your pockets adjusting your member, please remember to pull out some dollars and bring them over to TD Bank and donate them to Pennies in Action. How tall I am? I'm actually only 5'4", but I'm always in heels. Most of the time in heels, except, of course, at the gym.
So you're way taller than that.
Yes, because I'm in like 4-inch heels and thigh-high boots, in case the audience wanted to know. kind of makes the whole foot fetish thing. Yes, they're leather. They're black leather thigh-high boots. I came prepared.
You sure did. Okay.
And I'm getting emails on my Facebook page.
You are?
Yes.
Okay, do you want to read them?
Because
we're wrapping up.
Oh, we're wrapping up. Okay, well, wait, let me plug again. We have to plug the 2011 Boulder Bash. And it's going to be at the L Bar on January 29th at 7:30. That is the L Bar at 1356 North Front Street, where all these talented, wonderful musicians and comedians and dancers are donating their time and their talent. And we have comedian Mike Buschetti. We have comedian Bobby Z, Joe Conklin, and acoustic performances by Clashing Plaid, Early Gates, and Jason Kelly. And, of course, Sister Blue with Mark Furman. And from the Peekaboo Review, we have the three burlesque dancers, Ginger Lay, Cherry Bomb, and I'm sorry, again, I've forgotten. I should have looked it up by now. But again, January 29th, please come out, $15, and it benefits breast cancer research. Successful, you hear that, successful research. Please go to my Facebook page and click on the Pennies in Action donation link. If you can't be there that night, just donate some money. This is an excellent cause. We're looking at the cure for breast cancer and many other cancers to come. And it's been a pleasure, Rev. I appreciate it. I feel like I should rub your belly. Or do you have a wafer or some cheap wine for me to drink? I don't know. Are we on holy ground? But it's been a pleasure. I want to say thank you to all these wonderful people out there that have been supporting me on Facebook. I love you. I love you. I love you. Honestly, genuinely, sincerely. Please don't forget to write Tim Sabian that you want the Alan Lowe Show on. And good night and good evening.
Thank you so much for coming. I hope you come back again.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Our next show is in 2 weeks on January 23rd, part one of the 10th anniversary show. Write to the Reverend Rev Bookburn at sjcdc.org. Tonight's show is going to be in the archives in probably 1 week and also accessible for free. And that's at Radio 4 All, Radio Numeral 4 All.net. Thanks to our great and legendary producer, co-producer from afar, Pastor Rex Catt. Check out the always updated ReverendBookburn.com on YouTube, youtube.com/RevBookburn, on MySpace, myspace.com/ReverendBookburn, on Facebook, where they don't let you name yourself Rev. It's the Rev Bookburn. And on the info tab, a link to the Reverend Bookburn fan site. And find yes, my Facebook friend Lois Burak, B-U-R-A-K, and who is on the friends list on both the my site and also on the fan site of this show. And you'll be glad you did, and you'll love the pictures, but not as much as I do.
Yeah, he loves them even more now that he hears the foot fetish.
Now that I have
the visual,
a mental,
and the stories
imagery to go with.
Yeah, I'll have to come back and read more of my stories.
Please do that. Thank you to our guest Lolo, who is doing a great thing raising money for breast cancer. And
it's really all Ushi. Ushi Kessler, she rocks, Olympic skater, trainer.
No, coach. You get the credit.
No. This woman's incredible.
You know, you're putting it on the map and giving them relevance.
Well, thank you.
Okay, so I will see you in 2 weeks on January 23rd for the part one of the 10th anniversary show, since it's spreading to at least two full show lengths, possibly more. And we are incorporating most of the ideas that we're getting from the Bookburners. We're going to play a closing tune and then leave. Thank you again, Lolo.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Lady Simone and Jennifer Hunter. And the show is dedicated to a friend and Bookburner, Candy Hogan, who passed away this past weekend. We're going to play a song from Jello Biafra's new band, or most recent band, Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine. This is entitled "I Won't Give Up." Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to London, Laurie Anderson.
This evening, I'll be reading from a book I just finished. And since a lot of it is about the future, I'm going to start more or less on the last page and tell you about my grandmother. Now, she was a Southern Baptist holy roller, and she had a very clear idea about the future and of how the world would end.
In fire.
Like in Revelations. And when I was 10, my grandmother told me the world would end in a year. So I spent the whole year praying and reading the Bible and alienating all my friends and relatives. And finally, the big day came, and absolutely nothing happened. Just another day. Now, my grandmother was a missionary, and she had heard that the largest religion in the world was Buddhism. So she decided to go to Japan to convert Buddhists. To inform them about the end of the world. Now, she didn't speak Japanese, so she tried to convert them with a combination of hand gestures, sign language, and hymns in English.
Japanese had absolutely no idea what she was trying to get at.
Now, when she got back to the United States, she was still talking about the end of the world. And I remember the day she died. She was very excited. She was like a small bird perched on the edge of her bed near the window in the hospital, waiting to die. And she was wearing these pink nightgowns and combing her hair so she'd look pretty for the big moment when Christ came to get her. And she wasn't afraid. But then, just at the very last minute, something happened that changed everything. Because suddenly, at the very last minute, she panicked. After a whole life of praying and predicting the end of the world, she panicked. And she panicked because she couldn't decide whether or not to wear a hat. So when she died, she went into the future in a panic, with absolutely no idea of what would be next.
there was a snake, and the snake had legs, and he could walk all around the island. Yes, that's true. A snake with legs. And the man and the woman were on the island too, and they were not very smart, but they were happy as clowns. Let's see, then one evening, the snake was walking about in the garden and he was talking to himself. And he saw the woman and they started to talk. And they became friends. Very good friends. And the woman liked the snake very much. Because when he talked, he made little noises with his tongue. And his long tongue was lightly licking about his lips, like there was little fire inside his mouth, and the flame would come dancing out of his mouth, and the woman liked this very much. And after that, she was bored with the man, because no matter what happened, he was always as happy as a clown. What did the snake say? Yes, what was he saying? Okay, I will tell you. The snake told her things about the world. He told her about the time when there was a big typhoon on the island, and all the sharks came out of the water. Yes. They came out of the water and they walked right into your house with their big white. These things, and she was in love. And the man came out and said, "We have to go now." And the woman did not want to go because she was a hothead, because she was a woman in love. Anyway, they got into their boat and left the island, but they never stayed anywhere very long because the woman. She was a hothead. She was a woman in love. And this is not a story my people tell. It is something I know myself. And when I do my job, I am thinking about these things. Because when I do my job,
what's your name? when the guitars are ringing. Boys, we sure like kicking and singing. We don't need a whole lot of help. We can freak out by ourselves. A little strange, but it's got more soul than home on the range.
Defeat, not victory. I can't see. What about you? Can you be a friend to me? What about you? Can you mean something to me?
They go to your head. You like to turn them alone in your bed. You don't love me, you love bag or something. You don't love me, you love bag or something. There's a steam racing, but I'm not condone. I can't compete to your tiger beat. Why don't you drag me to your back and the circle? Wrestling, another match I've got, but they never chill to a modern bride. What's it like the fantasy subverts or just our truth? You don't love me, you love back or something. You don't love me, you love back or something. It's whatever in midnight, so I'm all alone. You got time on your eyes, and I'm out of circulation. Here's my story, it's sad but true. You get so much description, no more love from you. You don't love me. You love Magazine. You don't love me. You love Magazine. You don't love me, you love Magazine. You're gonna love me, 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 you're gonna love me,
I'm gonna make it sound.